Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
I'm a debate weary, contemplating not tuning in if we in fact have two more presidential debates. Hey everybody, Kate Delaney. Wow, where are we? We are in a chaotic world thanks to the coronavirus and thanks to the fact that we are so close to an election that is so unique to all of us because we haven't been in this situation, let's face it, before. The polls are out, the numbers are in. Quickly, I will throw those out. So, close to 75 million people watched the first debate where you had to really kind of get around the back and forth brouhaha to even try to make heads or tails of what was happening. And now it's a question of what these next two will look like. The next one is supposed to be town hall style. So, boy, that'd be interesting when you throw in the audience. I don't know, maybe it's better with the audience? Not sure. And the election commission is grappling with what can they do to iron out some of the problems they had in this first debate. Oh, it was like a brawl of words or lack of words or everything in between that you could possibly throw at it. We've talked about that a lot. We did it on our last show. But now what's the after effect? Because that's what the people around Biden are looking for, and of course the president, in trying to get reelected. So check this out. The Rasmussen poll has Biden up 8 points. He's hit a high of 51% according to that poll. The Quinnipiac poll has Biden and Trump locked statistically in a tie in South Carolina. The Telemundo poll, two-thirds of the people said Trump won the debate. So, I mean, with an election less than a month away, we're all running around with Calm apps and being told that we need to meditate. We need to try to sit in our backyards, do a staycation, feel calm, look at the world differently. But boy, you don't look at the world in a calm way when you see the two people that want to run the country not reacting in a calm way. So it is interesting. The debate should smooth out. It should be smoother next time, but we'll see. The debate commission says they're looking at additional tools to keep order, but they move slow, people. They move slow. So, and maybe they have no choice. They got to figure it out sooner rather than later because you've got two more presidential debates and a VP debate, but that's not the concern, the VP debate. So anyway, the Commission on Presidential Debates sponsors televised debates for the benefit of the American people, the all of us, right? And the debate the other day made it pretty obvious that something has to be added to the format of whatever the remaining debates are going to look like to make it more orderly, to have an actual discussion. Because, you know, if you walked away with this, you would have schizophrenic notes. It would be like the worst college class you could have ever taken. Wait, what did they just say? I have no idea. Who's doing what? Stacking the Supreme Court? What are they talking about? Chris Wallace he struggled. He struggled to gain control of the 90 minutes. You know, Brett Hume, I've had conversations with him in the past, and I can remember as a kid watching, I'm not dating him, but I can remember as a kid watching him, I can't remember if it was CBS, ABC, it was one of the mainstream, because now I think of him as Fox, and he said, oh, that's the best debate, you know, he was the best moderator. I think Chris Wallace did a great job interviewing the president. He did a great job. He had follow-up questions. He was fearless, and whatever he asked, he was just a unbridled, I thought, conversation, which was good. But in this debate, there was just no gaining control of it. You know, there was just no gaining control. So what is going to happen as town hall format on the 15th of October in Miami? Right? Yeah. Somebody throw a switch. They got to stop the train. Honestly, they have to stop the train. So, like I said, Chris Wallace, he bore the brunt of some of it because he got hammered by the comedians. You know, Trevor Noah tweeted in the middle of what was happening, and he, of course, is a host of The Daily Show, which is more cut-upy and comic-y anyway. And they're all, that's all the monologues. But he said, Chris Wallace's debate performance is a great reminder that kindergarten teachers are underpaid. Which I thought was funny, actually. And that's not as bad as some of the others, because it wasn't so much hammering him as that could have been. And he tried to ask pointed questions, and he asked Trump three times whether he accepted climate change. He asked Biden whether his proposals to help the environment would hurt the economy. I mean, he did get some sticks in there, but it didn't matter. I mean, because it was just all over the place, you know. And it's interesting too, because Chris Wallace said he wasn't gonna fact check things. He's just gonna let it roll. He's gonna let it happen. But it was just wow, just a hot mess. I mean, a dumpster fire, if you will. That's what it was. It was a dumpster fire. And can you really, I mean, there's the big question. Can you really do two more of those kinds of debates? Can we really spare the time? Can you spare the brain cells in watching that happen over again and then again after that? And imagine the people at the town hall. All right, also affecting us, the big furloughs that are happening with the airlines, because there is no second wave. I say second wave of the stimulus, which is what they were waiting for, American Airlines in particular, because they have a lot of people they're going to furlough, but United too as well. So deaths due to the coronavirus, 207 in the United States out of 7.26 million cases. Recovered in the world, 23.5 million. Worth mentioning that. And we're over a million deaths globally. And we certainly know the kick in the rear end it's been to the economy. But it's going to get worse because there are communities that are just chock full of a lot of these airline workers. And 32,000 furloughs with the airlines is what we're talking about. Steve Mnuchin said that he's talking to Nancy Pelosi and we've made progress, but they are nowhere close. Because the Democrats want $2.2 trillion and the Republicans are saying $1 trillion. So American and United can't wait any longer. They're going to begin the furloughs on Thursday because the last minute bailout from D.C. did not happen. So the memos have been sent. The people who are going to be furloughed and thought they might be saved will now have that officially happen to them. I mean, airlines have been pleading for another $25 billion in payroll support to protect the jobs for six more months under the current package, which banned furloughs. But that's expired, friends, as of a handful of minutes ago, if you're listening to me live, East Coast time. Very, very sad. All right, Kat Cora, what do you know about her? She's part of her story that's coming up on the flip side.
Fifth Season Financial is a licensed lender, not available in all states. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com for details.
Are you or a loved one suffering financial hardship as a result of an advanced stage illness like cancer, Alzheimer's, or ALS? Are the financial side effects of your medical fight reducing your quality of life and causing stress and worry? Did you know that you could be eligible for a special loan to access funds locked up in your life insurance policy? Text the word LIVE to 411-411 now. Fifth Season may be able to help you address your financial needs through our Funds for Living program. This simple-to-use program helps you access value that is locked up in your life insurance policy by lending you money against the face amount of your policy. This loan is not like other loans where you need to make monthly payments, and it only gets repaid out of the proceeds of the life insurance policy. Visit fifthseasonfinancial.com/radio and get approved quickly. If you need financial help, have an advanced stage illness and a life insurance policy, text LIVE to 411-411. Text the word LIVE to 411-411. When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com. Grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, helping her father and grandfather in their Greek restaurants. When she was 15 years old, she brought a business plan to both of them, knowing she could learn and they would help. After going to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York, she would eventually go on to host and co-host shows on the Food Network, writing best-selling cookbooks and opening restaurants like Cat Cora's Q in California's South Coast Plaza. She's still the Food Network's first and only female Iron Chef. I'm Kay Delaney, and this is her story. When in doubt, tune into the Food Network and figure out what the question is everybody has on their mind these days. What are we eating? What are we going to eat? And why is that? Because I would just imagine that viewership probably has boomed even more because so many people are home. And it's like the bread thing. It's like crazy how many people are learning how to make bread because they have maybe a little bit more time or they're thinking of things that they can do. You know, I can remember my grandmother, my great-grandmother, canning. Does anybody out there, I know you know this, because some of you have gardens or some of you live on small farms or whatever, you know, canning tomatoes, canning whatever, always, there was just so much of that. And so now people are looking for these easy homemade bread recipes. And seriously, it's become a very, very big deal, making bread from scratch. I mean, every kind of thing from baguettes to sourdough to whatever. So Kat Cora, who was already wildly popular from Jackson, Mississippi, probably couldn't even be more popular because people are tuning in for her show and for others too, right? And boy, it just all exploded for her. So good for her restaurant-wise and, you know, everything else, as I mentioned in that Her Story thing. To be the Iron Chef, the first woman to be the Iron Chef. All right, let's move from food and our thoughts about food during the pandemic. Two, things that are also buzzing in our backyards and what people are talking about. A lot of you are starting to send me those emails. Please focus on that. Tell me some of the great things that are happening or some of the unique things that have happened where you are because of the situation that we're all in. So celebrating different ways, finding out and supporting people when they need it, you know, that kind of thing. I'll tell you what's soared. Golf club equipment has soared. Bicycles. You can't even get, like, the basic bicycle. Half the places where you're listening to me, you can't get those because they're sold out at the various sporting goods stores, bike stores, and it takes a while to get them in. And if you were to enter that same bike in something and they, you know, pull it up on the internet, you can't even get those. So I'm saying, you know, you can get the thousands and thousands of dollar bikes, but you can't get the regular, oh, I just want the Schwinn to ride around the bike block and go 5 miles. Just soared, absolutely soared. So making bread, you can make bread, you can jump on your bike, you can go swing a golf club somewhere, right? Because you're probably okay with that. The timing of this is interesting. The governor of Nevada has kind of kicked open the whole idea, not kind of, has kicked open that, hey, Vegas is ready to roll. We are open for business. And when they say open for business, like MGM, our properties are opening, yes, but not full tilt, meaning, yeah, they've opened another phase, but they've got these guidelines. So, like, Bally's reopened at the end of June, but then the Rio stayed closed, and they're trying to figure it out. But with the governor giving an update on some of the adjustments, the thought is that now some people will go back to Vegas and have meetings. Maybe they might be a little bit smaller, but they'll have some of their meetings in Vegas. And it brings up the question of all the places that you might feel, oh, I don't know if I want to be here. Doesn't it seem like it would be Las Vegas? And I lived in Vegas, so I, you know, listen, they rely on tourists, no question about it. So anyway, the timing of this is interesting because in Las Vegas, there is a smoke-free hotel, smoke-free. And it's the Park MGM is what it is. So it's an MGM resort property. It reopened for the first time since the COVID-19 pandemic shut down the resort for 7 months, but it opened with a new rule. The first ever on the strip, no smoking. Signs everywhere because people aren't used to that. You know, lighting up, They have areas outside of the building, three different areas, but that's it. Instead, it's no, we're going for broke. And this is how we're going for broke, that you can't do it. You can't smoke in here. Wow. So that's one of the complaints people who don't smoke have of going into casinos, that they don't like that they come out and they smell like they smoked a carton of cigarettes. Mm. I mentioned the California wildfires, the wine country being ravaged by the fires, too. And it's, all of this is sad. Any of the smoke, things that have happened to people, the fact that you've got more people that have died. And you see those wine barrels that are just burnt to a crisp, like pieces of it. They had a thing called the glass fire in Calistoga, and it moved so fast, it just burned 36,000 acres in Sonoma and Calistoga counties. And so a lot of wineries and other structures were just destroyed. And you see the rows and rows of grapes, and you see that, you hear the stories of, like, the Charlie Wilson who farms the land that his family farmed for 100 years, and the smoke from the fires ruined the harvest, and They're scared to death everything's just going to burn. You have the Fairwinds Estate Winery that was destroyed by the glass fire, and you see just bottles that are burned, that are piled up, and there were video shots while it was happening of fire crews frantically trying to do what they could to, you know, to put it out, of course. And they had no luck with the winds and the conditions, the horrible dry conditions, made it impossible. And so you have wine, like 21 Crimes wine, just wiped out. I think it's 21 Crimes wine, or 19. I think it's 19 Crimes, something like that. I know that I've been given a gift. It's 19 Crimes, because I've been given that gift a few times. And what it is there's somebody that committed a crime, they're on the label, and then you put your phone by it, and it just has the person and their crime, and it really took off. And it was kind of targeting adults, but this dark history of actually what happened, and that was one of the wineries that distributed that destroyed. It's the one I mentioned, the Fairwinds Estate Winery. And it's just a reminder when you see these charred bottles and things that are just gutted of where we're at. I mean, 2020, how bad has it gotten? You think of the ball dropping on Times Square, and then the rest just dropped on our heads, on our lives. And, you know, you hear, practice the attitude of gratitude, which I totally endorse that, except for when you're watching a presidential debate. No. Or maybe it is gratitude, because why tune in for what's happening? But markets tanking, the economy, it's tough sledding. It really is. And I think that's why you saw a million people vote. I'll be curious what happens with some of those open Senate and congressional seats. Some of them might get a little bit tighter. And that goes for Democrats and Republicans, because I think the incumbent isn't necessarily on the Hill the easy vote. I mean, Susan Collins has a great chance in Maine to lose her seat. I don't think it'd be shocking if she did lose her seat, just to give you an idea of someone who's been there a long time, but certainly is in trouble. Stay with us. We're taking you to Author's Corner and so much more the rest of this hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The organization that sets the procedures for presidential debates has announced that it plans to restructure the events going forward after the chaos and verbal sparring of the night before President Trump before leaving Washington for a rally in Duluth, Minnesota.
By every measure, we won the debate easily last night. I think he was very weak. He looked weak. He was whining. We won the debate by almost every poll that I saw.
All polls, even on Fox News, show Biden winning the debate. he did get much more airtime due to the many interruptions from President Trump. After the debate, Biden went on an old-fashioned train tour. He spoke to people in Ohio.
The President of the United States conducting himself the way he did, I think it was just a national embarrassment.
This is USA Radio News. Seven people were shot when someone began shooting from a car while driving by a funeral home in Milwaukee. Acting Police Chief Michael Brunson.
So far, victims are in stable condition, various degrees, various injuries, that type of thing. But, yeah, right now, stable.
A man who was evacuated from the Zog fire outside Redding, California, is now the fourth death from the fire. Shasta County Sheriff Eric McGreeny.
This was an individual who was evacuated with significant burns on the day of the origin of this fire.
In Los Angeles, police have arrested a suspect in connection to the ambush shooting of two county sheriff's deputies earlier this month. L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva.
The work that was put in by our investigators, it was amazing, because now, just a few weeks later, we can report on those results that we have a suspect in custody, and justice will be served.
Both officers in the shooting did survive. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Navy Yard shooting. My mother worked for the Navy in Philadelphia, and when what unfolded not too far from Philly, you know, outside of the nation's capital, everybody went into sort of a silent prayer and panic mode and everything else. Imagine living through that. So Laurel Myers joins us. She's written a book called Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. And she is the subject of our author's corner. Laurel, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So take us back to that moment. You were there, and there was so much nonsense that came out afterwards, and misinformation, and, oh, what he had done, and et cetera. But you were there. You were in the middle of that.
I was. I was on the same floor, just a row of offices between his area and my area. And I guess you call it stupidly, but I automatically picked up the phone and dialed 911, so I was on the phone with 911 the whole time.
One of the things that you learned, I'm jumping in here for a second, one of the things you learned is that you had people around you that were, like, what do you think, your first instincts? You're on the phone with 911. How are you keeping quiet, and what are you doing to hide or keep yourself covered?
Oh, I had a cubicle with some vertical files in the back of it, and I ducked down in between the two vertical files and pulled my nice black office chair in front of me and my black briefcase piled in front of that in the bottom of the chair. So I was in the shadows, but I had the phone line down with me, and the office phone. And the whole time I was talking to the operator, I made sure that I couldn't hear him nearby, hear him or feel him. And the one time that he did come by, you could feel him there because the building was originally built for building the 16-inch guns that were to go on battleships. And the cranes were still there, the cranes that held the guns that were being built. And all they did was put in suspended floors. So we had five floors of that were suspended from in the building. And I was on the fourth floor where this all started. And I could, you could feel the footfalls of people walking by. So knowing that there was no one else nearby and feeling the footfalls of this heavy person walking behind me, I told the operator that I was not going to talk to her and because I feared that he would hear my voice. And I didn't want her to talk to me because I feared that he would hear her voice. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind me in the cubicle behind me and walked and paced back and forth and stood. And then you could feel when he changed his weight from one foot to the other. And I was so afraid that he would hear me, or I was afraid to breathe even because he would hear me. And the walls of the cubicle are just material. They're no protection. And if he heard me, he would shoot through the wall, and that would be it for me. So I put the phone down, and I put it down facing the floor so that if she did talk, it would be to the floor, not to me. And the entire time he was there, I just did not speak and almost did not breathe. And then as I felt him walking away, I finally had the nerve to pick up the phone again and let her know that we could talk again. That is the closest he got to me.
Wow. Wow. So you come out of this, and as I said, the title of your book, Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. How do you return to a normal life after that?
Still working on it.
Wow.
I was seeing a couple of psychologists for a while there, and a psychiatrist and a therapist. And, one by one, we dropped them off, and I got down to one psychiatrist and one psychologist for 5 years. And it came to the point where both the psychiatrist and psychologist wanted me to go back, when we opened the building again, go back into the fourth floor where he had gone, and the now new remembrance area, and in our old cubicle area. So I made use of the chaplain that they had there, and I talked to him about it. And at first I felt that God had abandoned me. And I told the chaplain this, and figuring he would, chastise me for this. And he said, no, the chaplain was Jewish, and he had his culture had gone through the Holocaust. And I said, how do you do this? And he said, he gets up every day and he prays. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, it will happen. And so he assigned me to go through one of those areas. And I said, I can't do that unless I can talk to you afterwards. And he said, no problem. Call me when you're going to do it, and I'll set time aside. So we did this. And he assigned me to read two books by two different people who had lived through the Holocaust and had written about the same feelings I was going through. And once I had read them, I thought, well, I hadn't gone through the Holocaust. I'd gone through a shooting. I hadn't lived through years of being treated the way those victims were treated. And so I started comparing my feelings against their feelings. And the chaplain said, okay, I think you need to write a book. And so he assigned me to write a book. And he said, I said, okay. And as I went through the different areas, I began to feel, well, God didn't abandon me. He abandoned us, all of us, those who died, those who were affected, just the whole building. And then I began to find myself saying their prayers, just as two writers of those books had found themselves saying prayers. And over a period of years, I started going back to church. My husband asked me to go to church with him, and I said, oh, okay. But I didn't sing. I didn't even listen. I just went with him because he asked. And slowly but surely, I started participating again in church. And now I find that I am doing more praying. I am doing more of the singing in church. It just took a long time to work into this. Amazingly long time to work into this. And now I just found that God lets things happen and lets us work it out.
Wow, what a powerful story, and what happened there, and what he taught you, what the rabbi taught you. What do you hope people learn from reading your book? What do you hope they take away from it?
What happens to you happens for a reason that's unknown to us, and it's up to us to figure out what was the intent and what we're supposed to take away from it, and to learn from it, and to move on. And eventually, it may not seem like it right now, it's supposed to make us a more powerful person, a stronger person. And this is the part, I think, where I'm at now. It's I'm working on the being stronger part. Now, this shooting happened in 2013. This is 2020. And I'm finally getting to the part where I'm working on the being stronger. So it does take a long time.
In writing the book, as the rabbi told you, did it feel cathartic to you? Was it good to release all of that?
It was. It was good to compare. It felt very strange to have the same feeling that these two other people had, who had been through a lot more than me. I didn't feel like I deserved to have those feelings, because I didn't go through this huge, long, life-changing event that they went through. They went through a shooting. I had friends killed, and I still had that same feeling. I couldn't reconcile that, and I kept asking why, and that question didn't get answered. So I think it was the point of God lets you figure out why in your healing.
That's very powerful, and the book is powerful. And again, you can pick it up on Amazon or any place where great books are sold. Healing After the Navy Yard Shooting, One Survivor's Story of Her Struggle to Return to a Normal Life. Laurel Myers, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not, but you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your four-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Accompagname, y permíteme complacer tus deseos toda la eternidad.
Wow, I just get goosebumps. So talented, unbelievable. Think about this. He moves to Vegas from Rochester, New York at 15. He starts singing at 16. Do you know he sings in seven languages? People describe Daniel as a classic crossover singer-songwriter because he sings in different genres. So pop, rock, classical. I love it, and I'm so thrilled to have him on this show. Think America's Got Talent and beyond. Hey, Daniel, thanks for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me tonight, Kate.
So for you, you know, what, well, first of all, what's it like when you, like you just heard that little clip there and it's being, I'm broadcasting all over the country. What's it like for you to hear that, to hear yourself? I mean, is it kind of surreal a little?
Oh, it's absolutely surreal. It's something that I don't know if you can ever get used to hearing yourself on the radio. I don't think you can ever get used to that. It's awesome.
I love that. So you knew. What was it that made you know inside that, you know what, I have to do this. This was what I was born to do. How'd you know?
You know, I would say there is a feeling that you get when you're on stage that just feels like home. It feels like it's the right place to be, and it feels safe. It feels safe, and it's amazing to connect with people emotionally on stage. There's not a lot of professions that can say that you can forge an emotional bond with hundreds of people within 3 minutes in the length of a song. And you get to take this emotional journey together that the first time I stepped on stage as myself, not as a character in a play, just as me singing, I felt that feeling immediately. And I knew this was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Nice. So tell us about the America's Got Talent, you know, performance. Everybody, I think a lot of people listening know about it, frankly. But let's just say there's a few people that were hiding behind the rocks and they don't know. Tell us what happened there that really, I think, made you even more famous.
Okay. America's Got Talent was a roller coaster for me, for sure. It was an incredible opportunity, and it was full of high points. And it was full of some curveballs as well. So in my first episode, my very first audition in front of the celebrity judges, little old me is going out. I mustered up my courage to sing an original song in Italian in front of Simon Cowell, which is terrifying. And I got out there and I was into my song. I was feeling it. And right in the middle of my number, Simon stops me. Not exactly how you want your first audition to go.
No.
But, see, I didn't know this in the moment, and I wish that I did, because it would have made that the moment a little less painful. But Simon didn't stop me in the middle of my song because he didn't like what I was singing necessarily. He, I guess, had another song in mind that he wanted to hear me sing. I guess he heard something in my voice that he really wanted to hear this other song. And this song was called Passera. And Simon said, okay, I'm going to give you 1 hour. You're going to go off stage and learn it, and then you're going to come back and sing it in front of me and all the people watching at home. And it was the most stressful hour of my entire life. I can guarantee you that. But through sheer determination, adrenaline, and caffeine, I was able to go away and learn this new song in Italian, come back and sing it, and I got a standing ovation from the judges, and it was the best moment of my life.
Ah, love it. So you catapult from there, where you end up on tour with Marie Osmond, who is like the nicest person on the planet Earth, right?
Yes, she is. She is a hero of mine, and it's an honor and a joy to get to be alongside her as we've traveled around the country.
What did she tell you about careers or singing? Did she give you any good pieces of advice? I can only imagine.
She has given me so much advice. It is, I don't say this lightly, it is a masterclass every time I get to be around her, whether on stage or behind the scenes. She is just the consummate professional and entertainer. She's amazing. I think the piece of advice that sticks out the most to me that she has passed on, when she and her brothers were young and performing in Las Vegas, they met Elvis from time to time, and Elvis gave them this advice that she has now passed on to me that I'll share with you now. Elvis told Marie that if he could go in his career and do anything over again one more time, it would be to thank each and every fan personally. And as I've been able to tour with Marie, I have seen that she has lived that advice every day, because her fans are the most incredible, most loyal human beings, because she treats them right. She treats them with respect, and she cares about them. And that's something I hope to do for my own fan base as it grows.
Wow, I love that. That is a good piece of advice. Who doesn't want raving fans? And especially in the entertainment industry, because they follow you all the way through. So I'm glad she told you that. You also got to perform the national anthem, like for Major League Baseball, a game there, probably a couple games, NHL, Rock and Roll, Marathon Series, heavyweight boxing. What was that feeling like? Because, you know, then you're talking about a different kind of animal. You're talking about sports crowds, and that could be kind of exciting. Plus, you get to sing the anthem.
Exactly. It is my favorite performance, but at the same time, it's the most difficult, I would say, at the same time, because the anthem is such a sacred song, and the fans in that crowd, that's something that you have to get right. There's no room for error, and when you get to perform a song like that, and you know, sing the praises of our country in front of 20 to 50,000 people, and sometimes when it's broadcast around the country as well, that is just an immense moment. There's no better moment than that. And I've been lucky enough to perform for the home opener for the LA Angels. I was actually supposed to do the national anthem for the home opener that was scheduled for next week, and I'm so bummed that it's been postponed. But rightfully so, when we all can gather again together, hopefully we'll get to sing for another game this season for them. It's the national anthem is truly my favorite performances that I, whenever I get to perform them, because it is just an incredible, unforgettable moment.
Oh, I love hearing that. So you're in Vegas. Vegas is dark. You were getting ready to do a big show and really pop out there even more, which I'm sure will come back to you. What's it been like for you during this period?
It's been a period of uncertainty, of course, for all of us. We all are. This is new territory. We are living history, and it is watching us. So it's just a very interesting time to be alive. But what is the benefit for, there's not a benefit to being in this situation ever, but what we can do for me, I'm able to take this time to really build my craft, hone, rehearse, make sure that when we come out the other side of this, because we will, then we're ready to hit the ground running, and I'm able to bring this an even greater level of show and performance to the audiences I'll have the honor of being in front of later on this year.
I love it. All right, so I have to ask you like a few goofball questions. What do you do? What kind of goofy things do you do? You're a young guy. Are you like into video games? Do you eat, I don't know, Cocoa Puffs? What do you do?
You know, I wish, you know, now I have time for things like video games, but I wasn't before. I'm pretty much married to music, but I do have my rescue dog, and I love to be out hiking and be out in nature when we can. Right now, of course, is a little more difficult, but I love to cook. That's the other thing. That's honestly what I'm spending 90% of my time doing now, and my waistline is showing it, and that's not good. But I love to cook everything under the sun, from Italian to Mexican, and my cooking skills are improving during this quarantine time. I will say that.
I love that. I understand. I'm right there with you. I was getting in good shape doing the hiking thing, too. And, you know, this is what happens to us. Daniel, what a pleasure to have you on the show. And I want everybody to go and definitely friend Daniel. Look him up if you haven't heard of him, which I can't believe. But go to DanielEmmett.com. And we're going to post this all over the place. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my gosh. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight, Kate.
All right. And we'll keep up with you. Thanks. Love it. Like I said, in fact, I'm going to let you hear a little bit more of Daniel as we kind of trail out here. But you heard Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith, and that's his most requested song to actually perform since he appeared on AGT. And, boy, just... He really does have, I think, an incredible amount of talent, and we've just seen the beginning of him, and obviously Maria Osmond knows that. How about Placido Domingo saying he's the future great entertainer? Woo! So check it out.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.